For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Downloaded now.
And boom! Why should anybody aspire to be a common man, an average man? Do you realize what it means to be average? That means you're the best of the lousiest. And the lousiest of the best. Now if we demand more and more for producing less and less, while the have-not nations encourage and inspire and indeed require hard work and maximum effort, if we deify the common men while they encourage and reward the uncommon ones, well, the end result of such a lopsided race as that is too obvious to require elaboration.
I mean, it's like, hello?
Kidding me! Oh boy!
Well, you live by the dog, you die by the dog.
Lucky!
Do you think that's some information I would like to know?
Check.
Brilliant!
Genius! Idiot! Moron, imbecile, what a Morris.
I love you, you love me. We're at Extended Family with a great GM. We'll be 13-3. We're all about positivity. Hashtag faith.
He's the clown from Brown. He's the fourth in the north.
But we try harder.
This is the common man, Dan
Cole.
No,
that's a lie. We don't try at all. I put very little effort into anything other than getting to the golf course on time. I think they should actually have... I brought this up before, by the way. This is the new and improved common man program. I think I brought this up once in the old and stale common man program, in which... you know the Hartman Highway? You know the one, the Min Pass, where you pay money and you get to go by all the poor people? Or the beautiful people get their own lane, right?
Yeah.
I think they should have a tee time lane. It's probably happened to you, Tenneby. You meet me somewhere at a local golf course, and what happens? You get behind a little bit. There should be a tee time lane. And you don't have to actually construct the lane. Just make it the shoulder. You know, the buses are allowed in the shoulders.
Yeah.
Golfers. And all you have to do is put it like a little... golf flag on your antenna so that people can see that that's what you're doing. So
make it look like a T.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, not like, yeah, but no, just the flag and, you know, like the flag from a golf flag. And just have it flopping in the breeze. And, oh, he's going to a tee time. Move over for him. I think that's what they really should do. The new and improved common man program. Something we're going to try here today. I think we've actually done this before, but it's been such a long time ago. We have so much ground to cover. And there are so many different topics out there that raise interesting issues that I thought what we would do is we'd go back to one of my old favorites called Wheel of Topic. And what we do is I will list out a number of topics. Tenneby has loaded it up into the Wheel of Topic a gonculator. And we'll spin it, whatever it lands on, that's our topic. So here's our what I thought our topics for today would be. Of course, it's the National Football League draft. Everybody wants to talk draft. Yeah. It's approaching Thursday. Of course, Friday, Saturday, the two best days in sports. Actually, Saturday being the best day in sports. Third round of the NFL draft, third through seven. Day number two is the second and third round, whatever it is. And then, of course, the first round. Then we also have Minnesota Twins, the red-hot Minnesota Twins, beating the Houston Astros last night, one of the better teams in baseball. We are now going to be referred, you know, because every time you talk about the Houston Astros, comma, one of the best teams in baseball, comma, well, now we start to say the Minnesota Twins, comma, one of the best teams in baseball, comma. When was the last time we've been able to say that? Those two sentences or two phrases between a comma haven't been uttered since 1991, right? Since 1991, we've not said the Minnesota Twins, comma, one of the best teams in baseball, comma. It just doesn't happen here.
There was a stretch in 2006 before Francisco Liriano blew his arm out where we had Santana and Liriano going back-to-back, and they were unstoppable.
Yeah, I still don't know if I would call them, but I guess what you're saying. If you know, your standards are a little lower than mine. My standards are much higher. Listen to the Grum, and you'll know what I'm saying. Then there's, of course, NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? We've got all sorts of series about to finish up. We've got general manager. Add this one to the Gonculator.
Okay.
We have general or president of basketball operations search.
Sure.
For the soon-to-be big world champion, NBA champion, Minnesota Timberwolves. We also have National Hockey League.
Two game sevens
tonight. And are we searching for anything for the Wild? We're keeping our coach. We have our GM. We're just looking for better players, right? That's what we're searching for.
Well, there was a tweet yesterday that showed a private jet leaving Toronto, heading toward Racine, Wisconsin, and it had a Minnesota Wild logo on it.
Really?
So Craig Leopold was in Toronto for something.
I'd rather he go to Hattiesburg. Remember the days of going out to Hattiesburg? I do, too. And then there are all sorts of assorted topics. Another one, Bulldog hockey.
Yeah, we'll throw that in there.
University of Minnesota Bulldog. That's a topic I really want to dive into deep. I just haven't had a chance to do it yet.
I always love that one.
Will you add that can you give the Gonculator sounds? Can you find that, or am I going to really throw you off now? See, that's us throwing the topic UMD Bulldog hockey into the Wheel of Fortune Gonculator. So we have a lot of topics out there right now, Tenneby. So let's go ahead and let's give the Wheel of Topic
Wheel
a spin
of topics.
Wheel of Topics!
I really hope it's NFL draft, and I can't get enough of that.
I want Wild.
Okay.
Wild hockey.
Commons golf game.
Oh, well, isn't that funny? That's interesting. Isn't that interesting?
What did you shoot today?
A 77.
Where'd we play?
A logger's trail.
Where'd you hit it on one?
Actually, it was 10. One I hit right in the middle of the fairway, but I did on 10. We started on 10 because the league's right up the gut.
How far from the green was?
Well, I had to lay up because I couldn't get there in two.
Second shot?
19-degree hybrid.
How far from the green was?
I had a wedge into the green at that point.
Then what?
Knocked it on the green.
Then what?
Two-putted for par.
Incredible.
Yeah, it was a decent round. I went par, par, par. And then on number 13, the par three, that's just become my nemesis hole. And I hit it in that front bunker. I hit an awful bunker shot. I catch all ball, flies over the green. You know where those railroad ties are?
Yeah.
That kind of where they're more just an aiming thing. They're more for it's way back by there.
I'm definitely familiar with those.
So now I've got a soft wedge I got to hit to a green that sloped away with, again, the bunker down below again. Key shot of the run. I hit a beautiful soft wedge to an inch from going in. Right, stops just left of the cup, right next to it. I mean, if I could have went up there and went and blown it in. So I make a nice bogey there. I par 14, bogey 15, par 16, 17, 18. I bogey one, which I blew it over that bunker. And I got 64 yards to the pin, and I tried to get too cute with it. I was going to hit that little pinch, you know, and just spin it. So when it hit, just have a check up and then come back, you know. And instead, I get a little too quick and I leave it short. It doesn't roll back down, but it's just kind of hanging on, on the rough where it just goes a little further to jump up on the fringe. I'm not on the fringe. I didn't roll back down. And I putt from there, and I don't hit a very good putt. It's 6 feet short. I missed that. Hit a brilliant wedge to about a foot after missing the green on two, make par. I three-putt number three, the par three, from about 75 feet. You're not going to two-putt from 75 feet often, but you know what happened on that hole? Instead of thinking about the putt, I was thinking about what am I going to wear for the first round of the Golf Open in Brainerd at the Preserve. I'm sitting over that putt going, I think I'm going to wear my burgundy long-sleeve zip-up sweater with the burgundy mock turtleneck, and I've got pink pants now because I'm going to start wearing pink. You've convinced me to wear pink. But they're a very light pink. I can't do Pepto-Bismol.
No.
So it's a very light pink. Sure. So that's what I'm thinking about instead of my putt. My mind's not in the right spot. Well, it is sort of because it's my mind is where? The other side of that Anoka County line. Once you get past that, your troubles are over. But then I make bogey on four. Can't get up and down. So now I'm five over. Just missed birdie on five. Six, I three putt the par three. Go to seven. Or go to six. Miss the green on seven short right, and I say, well, you know what? I don't have a very good round going. I'd rather be on the green, but as long as I'm not, I can get to work on my short game, and I wedge it in the hole, get back to five and par eight and nine. Isn't Wheel of Topic fun?
I liked Wheel of
Topic.
Well,
and it changes things up too, so it's not just, you know, the same old thing every day, start the day with Common talking about his golf game. We are able to change things up a little bit, which I really like. We do have a lot to get to today, though. Is the Rube returning to me? Because for some reason, you know me, I'm generally so disinterested in the National Football League draft, and for all the right reasons. None of us know anything about any of these players. We can read up on them, so we kind of know the names. Got a few numbers, but none of us, including the people drafting, know, is that guy going to turn into a Pro Bowler? Is he going to be a Pro Bowl player year after? Is he going to anchor the left side of our offensive line for a decade? Is he going to be the next Jerry Rice and catch passes? Is he going to be the next Gronk and be able to do everything a tight end can do? Saints be praised. Could we be drafting the next Tom Brady at quarterback? None of us know. The names, you know, they can look like surefire, can't miss football players, and they miss. But with where the Vikings have been, because I do believe, and I know this is going to sound very ducky and bunny, and I'm not trying to become extended family member, I still do believe there is a window there for this club. I do like the defense, right? I do like their wide receivers. Their running back is starting to grow on me. I still don't think he's as good as a lot of other people think. I really do truly believe that the offensive line we don't need a Dallas Cowboys, Troy Aikman era offensive line.
It'd be nice if we did.
It'd be nice. Yeah. But if we could get one guy in the draft that could be the real deal, I'm not even saying Randall McDaniel, like I'd like that. But who's another really good offensive lineman that gave us 5, 6, 7 years? Was Stussy?
John Sullivan.
John Sullivan. Wasn't Stussy pretty good for a few years?
He's all right.
Give me somebody like that with that 18th pick. Hopefully better than that. Give me somebody really good at 18, and then somewhere else, give me another guy that can start. And now I don't have to worry so much about salary cap and finding guys, and then maybe we can make a real run.
We can build this thing together.
So I'm very curious to see what, especially, let's talk about it the other side of the break. There's, hold on. I remembered what you told me just before the break. Can you give me some
bonculator? Well, how about I'll do the keyword contest while you're doing
that. Let's do that because let's just say I got a couple of theories, a little of this, a little of that, emphasis lat. So we'll talk a little bit of NFL draft. We got much more to get to, including the best team. I'm going to call them right now the best team in baseball. Well, except for our pitching staff. But best team in baseball, we'll talk about that other side of the break as well. But right now, Tennessee, let's see if we can put some money in somebody's hand.
Yeah, let's try to put a grand in your hand. This hour, your keyword is hockey. So text keyword hockey to 200-200 to enter. Standard text messaging and data rates may apply. Your keyword this hour is hockey. Text to 200-200.
It's the afternoon buffoon at noon. This is the Common Man, Dan Cole, on the Fan.
Common here for 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You got junk? Do you want to get rid of your junk? Go with the world's largest junk removal service. They've been in business since 1989. That's 30 years. A trusted junk removal service. It's what I did. I gave them a call, and I was able to book an appointment online right away, or on the phone right away at a time that was convenient for me. You can book one online if you want as well. They made it easy. They did all the work, and they gave me a free on-site estimate that very day. They said, I pointed. I said, this, that, lat. They said, this is what we'll charge you. They removed it just like they say. All I did was pointed, and it all disappeared. And it really didn't matter what I had. Furniture, appliances, mattresses, TVs, electronics, bicycles, lawnmowers, construction debris, and more. Just point and the junk disappears. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and book your free on-site estimate today or online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
KFAN, total traffic.
From the Holiday Station Store Traffic Center, here's a look at the roads. Westbound 494, right shoulder approaching France is an accident. Stop and go from Penn 35E northbound, a stall on the right shoulder after Diffley Road, and also closure of Rice Street for flooding between 694 and Hodgson Road. That's Traffic on the Fan. This report is sponsored by Early Bird Electric, 612 The Bird.
Electrical problems? Why not give Early Bird a call? Early Bird Electric has the 4 guarantee exclusive. Guarantee number 2 is no surprise pricing.
612 The Bird.
First time customers get a free service call. That's a $79 value.
612 The BM.
Come and support a great cause with our friends at Blue Plate and Corner House. Stand Up for Kids. Helps spread awareness of child abuse and inspire its prevention. All proceeds from Blue Kids sales directly benefit Corner House. KFAN.com, keyword community, for more info.
Look over yonder. What do you see?
The common birdie.
Most definitely.
Couple 13, 14 passed. Here on the Common Man program, emails accepted via our Bradshaw and Brian inbox. Really easy. Just go to booth@kfan.com. We have one right out of the gate that basically is comparing me to Joe Florio. No, Mike Florio.
Mike Florio, yeah.
Is that good or bad?
It can be both.
Yeah. He's a conspiracy theorist kind of a guy, isn't he? He likes to throw out stuff that...
He likes to be out of the box a little bit.
Yeah, I guess I don't mean conspiracy, just for lack of a better phrase. This email says, might be worth pulling on Mike Florio's last statement on PA this morning, where he basically stole Common Man's take on it being impossible to predict who will be good and bad in the draft. Actually used the word impossible, trying to predict how a talented college kid will operate against grown men. What an absurd exercise. And it is an absurd exercise. And that's why I find, it's a cottage industry. There are, we talked about, certainly two of the mainstays in draftology, NFL draftology, and that would be the Godfather, Mel Kiper, and then Todd McShay's made a nice living pretending he knows a lot about college football players and who's going to draft who and how they will end up developing once they get to the National Football League. But no one knows for sure. We've seen too many busts over the year. I mean, for instance, one of the busts, everybody knows the name, Tony Mandarich. Packers selected him with the second pick overall in the same Barry Sanders draft. Sanders went the next pick to Detroit. Now, Sanders didn't lead Detroit to a big game world championship. No. But if you look back now and go, who would you rather have, Barry Sanders or Tony Mandarich? The answer's simple, right? So you just...
Well, how about the Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf, right? There was a big discussion, which one do you take number one?
There you go.
One becomes one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. The other one...
You are correct.
Was about as good as me.
You're giving Leaf too much credit. You're better than Ryan Leaf. If I was in a conference championship game on the road, late December, ball on our own 12 without any timeouts and needed a touchdown, 70,000 people scream, I'd rather have you than Ryan Leaf at quarterback. I like our chances.
I always love that one.
Another one was
Leaf or Ponder.
Back in 1970 or 71, Auburn quarterback won the Heisman Trophy. His name escapes me now. I think his last name may have been Sullivan, but I'm not sure. I'll have Tennessee look it up. He's answering the phone now. Phones are beginning to ring off the hook. People want to be people want to become involved in the Common Man program. They want to be a part of the fun. They realize that Tennessee and Common Man are having fun, and they're having fun as well. And so they want to get in on the tomfoolery and the skullduggery. But we know all the names of the best offensive linemen out there, right? Or the, you know, what are considered the best offensive linemen. Do you have to take an offensive, was that a complaint? Compliment?
No, it was the first time ever that Walter, the Secretary of Insight, has called to let me know that he's going to be calling back in the 2 o'clock hour, but he still goes on, you know, the one-minute rant about the Utah Jazz off the air to me.
Okay. So he will be calling in the 2 o'clock hour. Mark that down.
I will.
We'll clear some space for him there. Can you look up, I think the name is Pat Sullivan. Auburn quarterback, 1971, won the Heisman Trophy. He was selected number one overall in the National Football League draft. Oh, you know what somebody pointed out to me today, Tennessee? Is the word now that it's spread, the steam, the draft steam right now, is it Tyler Murphy, Kyler Murphy?
Kyler Murphy.
Kyler Murphy. The short quarterback.
Or Kyler Murray.
Murray, the short quarterback, right? That everyone was assuming was going to go number one. Now the steam is he won't be going number one, which is a perfect example of why all mock drafts are futile and fruitless. Because everybody has spent all this time and energy trying to read the tea leaves, read between the lines, try to talk to some people and read some things and find out who's going to go where. We've had these weeks of speculation, and now it looks like, 2 days before the draft, everything has changed. So that's why.
Or has it?
Or has it?
Yeah.
We don't know because, again, we don't know who is, we've seen it before, right? It happens in the National Football League draft where general managers will talk about what they're looking for. They're very vague, but they're not going to come out and tell you, yeah, we really do want an offensive lineman. We're probably going to select offensive lineman in the first round with our pick, even though most people would think it's the obvious choice with the Vikings, particularly with the deeper offensive line draft. It seems to be the so-called experts call it a deep draft for offensive linemen. You would think they would, but a general manager is not going to just come right out and say that, because what does that do? Well, now all of a sudden they think, well, now everybody knows what we're going to do, so now we'll play with them a little bit. You know, you get the phone call from another general manager on draft night, and you're drafting, let's say, 13, and they know the Vikings are waiting around for an offensive lineman. So 13 guy calls, you know, we might be thinking about taking, is it Cody Ford? It's the only name I remember, so we'll use it. We're thinking of Cody Ford, but we don't know. How'd you like to trade up? You know, so if they know exactly what you're looking for, that's why you don't want to tip their hand. But if I'm the purple, I'm doing what? Don't you think most, unless certain teams are really set on a guy and they know he's going to be there, aren't most teams open to listening to trades?
Sure.
Because I'd be the first thing I would do is, what do you got? What do you want? I'm open. Call me up. What do you want to do? You want my pick? You want to come and get it? Kitties are doing that right now, allegedly. 8th pick overall. Lions have so many spots to fill. It's not like one guy. You know, it's like, one player away from turning this. They need two offensive linemen, two defensive linemen, two linebackers, a couple of secondary guys, a couple of wide receivers, new quarterback. They have all sorts of issues. So they want to accumulate picks. Whereas other teams, unless you've got one guy you're set on, one guy that you really think can be that final piece or become a fixture on your club, as we talked about in the first segment, a foundation for the future that can give you 10, 12, maybe even 15 years, I'm open to all sorts of trades. I'd go ahead and I would entertain any and all phone calls and trade conversations. Speaking of phone calls, were those complaints? Were those people wanting
to trade? The last one was a complaint, yeah.
And he wanted to trade the midday host for somebody else? What was his complaint?
He said, the only thing dumber than mock drafts is you mocking the mock drafts.
No, that's not. And if he thinks that's, wait till he gets a load of us on Thursday. Because on Thursday, we're going to do the mocking the mock NFL draft. So if you'd like to participate, we can't guarantee you a spot right now. How do we do that in the past? You're not going to be there. Do we get people to call in ahead of time?
Yeah, or they can email you or call in. And then they can reserve one of the spots
and I
for
do
one
that,
of the teams.
And we do that day of, right?
Yes.
Okay, because you're going to be out Thursday. And so we're going to have a different a board op sidekick. So that's what we'll do on Thursday, day of the draft. Starting at 12 noon until 2 o'clock. Well, we got to get it done by 1:30, right? For sure?
Yeah, you need to know ahead of time.
I need to know by...
It rarely ever does that, but
right,
yeah.
By 1:30. And then what you do is you call and say, I want to have the 10th pick. I want to do the Vikings pick. I want to do the Packers pick. Some of those picks will be gone, but we will do the first round of the National Football League draft 1 through 32 out during the 2 o'clock hour with Mark Rosen. And that's it's really become a common man program, a staple, mm-hmm. and a real fan favorite where we have listeners pick, because our drafts usually aren't any less accurate than, because radio stations, almost every single sports talk station in the country does a mock draft where they'll have the host of the show will go, who's got, is Atlanta, Arizona number one?
Arizona.
Let's go to Joe Bag of Donuts at WXYZ, the flagship station of the Arizona Cardinals, and we'll see what, he'll have a first round pick, and then they'll do serious breaking down of what the Cardinals need and what they're looking for, and then they'll do a draft, and that's, as we say, it's all nonsense. So we do it with listeners instead, and it's much more fun. Other side of the break tend to be, are they the best team in baseball? We'll discuss it on the Common Man program here on The Fan.
The Common Man.
Is there anybody who thinks this guy is not a bleeping idiot?
Weekdays at noon on The Fan.
The Fan.
That it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come away and light my fire.
Now let me repeat myself. We are not taking requests quite yet for our KFAN Common Man mocking the mock NFL draft segment, which we will do Thursday at 2 o'clock, though I am reserving one spot, for the 18th pick that goes to Brody.
Yeah, he's already responded on Twitter.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Brody gets the 18th pick. After that, 1 through 17 and 19 through 32, we won't start taking requests until noon. On Thursday, noon on Thursday. Twins win. Coming off a nice three-game sweep of the Baltimore Orioles, in which, I mean, that offense, I'm not ready to call them, the murderer's row. Maybe... let's call them involuntary manslaughter row, right? Because I don't think they're quite murderer's row yet.
Homicide row?
Maybe, well, yeah, but no, because that's homicide is murder. So I'm not ready to call a murderer's row means they're murdering people. I would just say involuntary manslaughter row is what I would call them. Don't step on my touchdown calls. We saw records, the two teams combined for records said most home runs ever hit by two teams in a doubleheader was 17. Twins hit like eight of their own. They had another record of players with multiple home runs. All they do is tear the cover off the ball. But it's the Baltimore Orioles, right? It's the Baltimore Orioles, one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball. So last night was supposed to be the upgrade, Tennessee. Supposed to be, okay, sure you're able to, you know, kick six different kinds of dog manure out of the Baltimore Orioles. But what about when you face a real team? The Houston Astros, just what, two, 3 years removed from winning a World Series with a very dangerous lineup and a pretty darn good pitching staff, right? Anchored by Verlander, and who's their other big ace?
Well, they had Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah, they had Keuchel. So, really good team, you know. And the Twins picked up right where they left off in Baltimore and scored. Was it nine runs last
night?
They
did, yeah.
Nine runs. They win 9-5. And they treated Houston like a rag doll. They went in. It wasn't, they didn't go in intimidated, it didn't appear. They didn't go in.
Garrett Cole's their other good starter.
Garrett Cole. They didn't go in with, oh, shucks, we're just glad to be here. Now we'll see what really. They went in there. It appeared to me in the early stages of the game that I watched that they were very cocksure of themselves, a very confident. Eggs was solid. You know, I worry about Eggs. He's a good pitcher. I wouldn't call him a great pitcher, but he was pretty good last night. He mixed it up real well. And the game really never was in doubt. They jumped out to a 2-0 lead in the first. They were up 3-0 after Garver's home run. Then it went to 3-1. I think they cut it to 7-5. By that point, I was drifting in and out, and the Twins tacked on a couple of runs late to win the ball game 9-5. Polanco had four hits. They had contributions from a number of people. And one thing I liked is apparently the manager is starting to listen to the common man, Rocco Baldelli. Because despite the fact that we were playing a National League team in the Houston Astros, he was able to find a way to get Cruz in the lineup.
Yes.
Because if you'll remember, when we had that five games, three against Philly and two against the Metropolitans, the guy that you gave a two or three year, a gargantuan contract by Twin standards, and he started the season red hot, all of a sudden you've got him on the bench.
Your best hitter, yeah.
He's your best hitter and he's on the bench, and it's like, well, because he can't play in the field. Well, no, he can play in the field. Give him a glove. So they were able to find a way to get him in against Houston last night, one of the best teams.
I always loved
not only in the National League, but in Major League Baseball. So that was nice to see.
You mentioned Polanco,
mm-hmm.
and I heard Corey Cove bring this up on the morning show this morning about how, you know, he was suspended for the first half of last season due to performance enhancing drugs, right? So there's either two things going on now because he's still performing well,
right?
He's still tearing the cover off the ball. So either one, he's still on steroids or performance enhancing drugs, or two, he's not, which makes me why you were on it the first place if you're able to hit this well without being on it.
Well,
right? I mean, both cases are still kind of.
Well, right. I see where you're going with this, but let me interject this. Did he ever come clean and say, yeah, I was using, or was he one of the guys that they all do it? And I'm not saying they're telling the truth. But in some cases, I guess it's possible that a guy was using some protein shake or something or another that had one of the banned substances that he didn't know. That's always another possibility. Now, I'm not suggesting he did, but to give the benefit of the doubt. But you're right, that's a fair question. If he really was using PEDs, as we like to call them, and then he's still performing the way he did without PEDs, it does make you kind of
question why you're using,
roll your eyes, shrug your shoulders, and shake your head and go, why would you have used them in the first place? But this email came in, and this is still where I stand on the Twins. And I know I'm going to get, speaking of rolling your eyes, shrugging your shoulders, and shaking your head, I'm going to get this from some of the listeners, I'm sure. They're going to do the old beating a dead horse. But this emailer agrees. Subject lines, Twins will frustrate because ... of the front office and especially the poll ads. They look to be a very good offensive team with questionable pitching. What are the odds the Twins would add a quality pitcher or pitchers at the deadline or sign a good free agent pitcher for multiple years? The Twins also have multiple batters on one year deals, I think. Is it Cron or Crone?
I can see your Crone.
Crone, Scope, etc. have big years and other players flourish. The Twins will never pay them. This invites maybe contending one year at a time, once in a while,
yeah,
but not consistently. And that is what they have done. They went out, I know their payroll, I think, is actually less than it was last year at this time, right? Like $4 million left. But I still, and it's faint praise, but I praise the poll ads for spending money in free agency. And I got a couple people that going, you have no idea what you're talking about. You've complained about them not spending money in free agency, and now you're saying they are spending money in free agency when really their payroll is less, but these are people that don't think things through. The Mauer money was not free agency money. He was not a free... We didn't go out and get Joe Mauer. The $184 million was to retain Joe so he wouldn't become a free agent. So you can say, well, it's apples and oranges, and it is, but in the past what the Twins would do is the money they saved on the Mauer contract, the Santana contract, and the Hughes contract, they would have just put those in the company coffers and wouldn't have come back and spent any more money. At least they recycled that money. I know it's faint praise. It's not like they went above and beyond what their payroll has been, but I was surprised that they went out and spent any money at all. I really was. I thought they wouldn't spend any of that. So for me, that was surprising and fairly encouraging, though again, what they always fail to do, because I know it's part of family policy. We do not offer big money, long-term deals to free agent pitchers because there is a lot of risk to it. There's great reward, i.e. Houston. They traded for Verlander at the trade deadline the year they won the big game. He was brilliant, instrumental in leading them there. And since then, he's pitched very well and I think got him back to the postseason, right? I don't think they advanced to another World Series, but they were willing to invest that kind of money. Twins have never done that. And I think we all do have concerns about the pitching staff, right? We know Berríos appears to be the real deal. We get that. I like eggs, over easy, scrambled, sunny side up, however you like them. We have Gibby, I don't think is ever going to be a dominating pitcher, right? He's kind of a hot and cold guy. You might get a nice outing from him for six or seven innings, and he might be headed to the showers early. And who else is a makeup of our starting staff right
Pineda.
Now?
Pineda.
We don't still know enough about Pineda. He's shown signs. Is he the guy that we paid $8 million to rehab? He's had some nice outings, but I'm still not. I mean, is there anybody out there that says, by gosh, we can count on him every time? Maybe we can't. Do you feel that way? Maybe I'm not giving him enough credit. And then who else do we have? Is it Perez?
Yes.
You know, so again, our starting staff, I still think, leaves a bit to be desired. Our bullpen isn't. And it goes back to what we were talking about the last week or so when we got into some, not bitter on Twitter, it would be not sexting on texting, but when we were texting back and forth with Lavelle. Lavelle got a little bitter with us because we were picking on him about, you know, with Rosen, where we were saying, why don't we go out and get the Keuchel character? Let's take a chance. Maybe the guy still got something left. It's $18 million. It's not a big deal. Pollard's got plenty of money. There's no salary cap. Well, I'm going to go get Kimbrel. Even Blackjack Morris said, boy, you get a guy like Kimbrel, that would just energize the locker room. People would go, hey, the team's behind us. They believe us. We got a guy now that we know we can really, really count on to come in and finish games. And someone sent me an email saying, you're a fraud. You always said the closer position is the most overrated in baseball. I still think it is. But there are some guys that are better at it than others.
We still want the best relievers.
Yeah, and we still want the best relievers. And so if he comes in there, that can move whoever's closing for the Twins now, can move him down into a setup role. So acquiring better talent when there's no salary cap. And I'm hoping, I would hope, certainly by trade deadline, if this team right now, I think they have the second best record in baseball. They are one of, as we speak, one of the best teams in baseball. And as we open the show today, you haven't been able to say that about this team very often, really about any team in this town, right? One of the best teams in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they act sooner rather than later. If you wait too long, other teams, Yankees are injury riddled. They're not going to be afraid if they're still suffering from injuries, whether they're in it or not. Come trade deadline, they're going to offer things up. There will be other teams that will be aggressive. And do we, I think if you go after, I just don't want them to wait too long and the cupboard's bare. Or if you put the hammer down now and build it, if you add quality pitching and win more games than you would with your current pitching staff and build a bigger, get some separation now in the standings. Let's make it so that once trade deadline comes, we're, because you can trade anytime you want, can't you? Can you make a trade right
until
now?
Until the trade deadline, yeah.
I'd start working the phones now is what I'd be doing. Or I'd be talking.
Or there's free agents out there.
And I'd be talking to Keuchel or Kimbrel. I really would. I'm just saying, this team has, and it could all fall apart. I get that. The offense could go into a slump. It could all be smoke and mirrors. Well, you know what? So it is. It's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out of the old ball game. Wait till next year. But we'll see. But I sort of agree with emailer here. I still am not convinced that the Twins will do anything. Falvey and Levine, just like Terry Ryan have said, they believe that if they go to the Polads when it's crunch time, that they will okay spending money. We'll see. Because right now, it's
if this team's successful, and especially all these guys that are on one-year contracts, it'll be interesting to see if they pay them.
That's it too.
Next offseason to retain them.
So we'll find out. When we come back, we'll do 5-3-4 here on the Common Man program.
Should boys be able to play in a girls' sport?
The Common Man.
Well, he's a dinosaur. I love his personality. I love the way he approaches things.
Weekdays at noon on The Fan.
Emails coming in at breakneck speeds to the Common Man program. The 5 C's, too. Some compliments, some concerns, some comments, some questions, and even a complaint or two. For some reason, the complaints end up in the bottom of the pile. And I don't know why, but that's where they end up. Maybe it's that way alphabetically. I don't know.
I always love that.
More draft talk to get to. I want to take a look back at a little bit of Vikings draft history, maybe a little bit different angle. Not that it hasn't been done before. I just haven't heard it recently. But before we do that, let's do 5-3-4, Tinnaby.
Time now for 5 questions. Well, actually 3, but 5 sounds like more than 4. Brought to you by Green Mill Restaurant and Bar. Question number 1.
A bill that would legalize betting on sporting events and fantasy sports
in Iowa
has passed the Iowa House and now heads to the governor's desk. It passed the House 67-31 last night. The bill authorizes the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission to establish rules for betting on professional, collegiate, and international sporting events, including motor racing. It excludes betting on some events, including minor leagues and in-state college team players. Uh-huh. The bill also legalizes fantasy sports contests and internet fantasy sports betting, but delays betting based on college sporting event statistics until May 2020. Sports betting would be limited to those 21 and older, and the bill sets a 6.75% tax on net receipts. Taxes and licensing fees could bring in estimated annual revenue of $2.3 million to $4 million annually. Common, will Iowa legalizing sports betting expedite Minnesota to follow suit?
I don't know. I can't answer that question. Every state, I think, kind of They kind of go at their own pace. I'm assuming it's eventually going to happen. I don't know if it'll happen in all 50 states, but I would assume it would, because there will be. My guess is there won't be as many tax dollars going to the state as the pro gamblers say, but it probably won't be as small as anti gamblers say, right? Because they same thing when you talk about when a city's going to host a big game. The people that are really into it, the people that are the Chamber of Commerce people, we're going to make $400 billion. And then the people that are anti-stadium and anti-sports go, we're probably going to lose money. And then it's always somewhere in between, right? So I would think it will be a way to generate tax revenue. I just don't know how quick it will happen. It doesn't matter to me that they do. I don't gamble. Very rarely. You know, we do it here for fun on the Grum. We'll do the $20 Masters bet. If Rosen's going to be in one of his many Vegas trips with the Power Trip Morning Show, I'll have him throw a C-note down on the kiddies. Mm. But like somebody that would, if a sports book opens up here in town, or I can do it on my phone, it doesn't do any. Even though I'm a great baseball bettor, we proved it last year with Blandon's blundering bet. Heck, was I after like $300,000 or something crazy on that? Now, easier to bet money when you're really not betting.
When it's not yours,
when it's
yeah.
not coming on, when it's fake dollars. But my theory about bet on the best baseball teams when they have their ace pitcher on the mound at home against bad baseball teams was almost foolproof. I mean, it was 9 out of 10 times that was working. But I don't mind going to the casino and playing blackjack once in a while. I don't mind pulling a few slot machines, some video poker. You know, if they had all the other games, would I go once in a while and throw some dice and spin the roulette wheel? Yeah, but I'm just not a, when it comes to the sports stuff, I've told you before, I don't like betting on things I have no control over. And once you, I mean, you have control over the bet, I get that. If I go, I think the Twins tonight are going to win the game, so I bet money on the Twins, I have control over that. But then I don't know if Baldelli benches Cruz. It's like, what are you doing? Your best hitter on the your one of your best hitters, you're benching him? Or like tomorrow, apparently tomorrow's game, we don't know who we're going to start. We might bring a guy from the minors. We might do starter by committee out of the bullpen. Well, I don't know if I like that idea.
Well, usually those bets are off the table until they find out who
so
it is. Yeah.
But what I'm saying, but still, if he takes a guy to the bullpen. Yep. He's probably only going to pitch it for two innings. So I don't know if I trust the next guy he picks to in the bullpen. So I don't know if Kirk Cousins is going to have, I think he probably will have happy feet, but he's going to get skittish. And I don't want to bet on him getting skittish. So to answer your question, I don't know if it speeds it up or expedites it. But I do know, my guess is there'll be sports betting in Minnesota soon.
All I know is from Minneapolis to Diamond Joe Casino, in Iowa, 1 hour and 44 minutes.
We're coming.
You drive there?
No, I wouldn't drive there for a random small bet, right? Like if there was a casino in Minneapolis, I would maybe bet $20 on the Twins tonight or the Astros tonight. Like I wouldn't do that, but if there's one of those where one of those before the season bets where you're betting. Like if I want to make a Masters bet at 30-1,
a value bet. If you had a value bet,
you got a chance to make some big time cash. I would consider making the drive. Yeah.
All right.
Question number two:
the Minnesota State High School League has agreed to a settlement that will allow boys to compete on high school dance teams beginning with the 2019-20 school year. The league's decision follows a March ruling by a federal appeals court that it must allow two high school boys in Roseville and Hopkins to be a part of their school's competitive dance teams. In a statement sent last week to member schools, the Minnesota State High School League said that the settlement avoids further litigation and allows the MSHSL to work in partnership with our member schools and the Minnesota Association of Dance Teams to prepare for the upcoming dance season. Common, are you okay with boys on girls' dance teams?
So I guess it's sort of like my interest in actually gambling. I have no interest in gambling. I really don't have any interest. I don't know if is there an inherent advantage in dancing if you're a male? Do you get an advantage? I don't know if you do. So I don't care. Maybe you're waiting for a different answer. I don't know.
No.
What do you think? I just don't care enough about it. Unless somebody can convince me that. Because what is dance team? Is that where they all like put their arms on each other's shoulder and go? Dun, 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 dun. Is that what dance team is?
Something like that. They do the high kicks and.
Yeah, then I don't see where a male has any advantage.
If they're doing anything where they're throwing each other up in the air, you might have an advantage there.
So
but I don't think that exists.
If I don't have a problem with it, how about you?
No, there's not a place for them. My only question is, and I think women and girls are much more accepting than men and boys in general, but. Could some teams not agree with the rule and then just cut the boys that are trying out for the team or not give them the proper role? And then you have further controversy.
Yeah, I guess that's...
They're being persecuted against because they're boys. Or in terms, it's a judging sport, right? What if one of the judges doesn't like the fact that there's a boy out there dancing?
Well, there's that too. Yeah. It's controversial.
It could just get dicey is what I'm saying.
I don't know why you would ask this question. I mean, it's too controversial for me, but... It could get dicey. You're right. There could be, for some reason, and maybe I'm considered sexist. A gal competing in a guy's sport, the regular sports, I don't have a problem with because, physically, let's face it, you know, a high school boy probably physically is going to be in most cases stronger than a high school girl, right?
Yes.
So that's why you can't have the guys playing girls hockey or girls basketball. But if there was a gal who was a really good point guard and she was tough and physical and could go up for the boys team and make it, I have no problem with it whatsoever.
Same with me.
None.
Question number 3. Time now for the A section question.
Americans are becoming increasingly sedentary, spending almost a third of their waking hours sitting down, and computer use is partly to blame, a new study found. Over almost a decade, average daily sitting time increased by roughly an hour to about 8 hours for U.S. teens and almost 6.5 hours for adults, according to the researchers. That includes school and work hours, but leisure time computer use among all ages increased too. By 2016, at least half of American kids and adults spent an hour or more of leisure time daily using computers. The biggest increase was among the oldest adults. 15% of retirement age adults reported using computers that often in 2003 to 2004, soaring to more than half in 2015-2016. Common, is our country currently under a couch crisis?
Couch crisis. I like that. I don't know. Is that any different? If they're spending an hour and a half on the computer, would that hour and a half have been spent in front of a TV set instead then? You know, I don't know. Am I considered part of this crisis in that in the evenings after dinner when I settle in on the couch, I don't watch Game of Thrones. I take a look at my handheld computer, which doubles as a communication device, and I read news stories.
Yeah.
To me, that's similar to reading the newspaper. It's just on a screen. So I don't feel like I'm addicted to this. I'm not playing Pac-Man. What are some of the other games the kids play now? What are the games they play?
Red Dead Redemption. Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Theft Auto, Call of Duty. I'm not playing Fortnite. That's the one I was thinking of. I don't play those games, and so let's face it. I mean, electronics are fascinating. I mean, back in my day, I do the bit in my stand-up. You had a TV, it was black and white, it was shut down at midnight, came back on at 6, there were 5 television stations in town, and there was no DVR, and no remote control. Well, I was the remote control, but you get my drift. So you didn't have as many options. Now, you can download games, there's YouTube, there's Hashtag, there's Insta. Common program page, there's Face Off. So there's so much more to consume. Not necessarily saying it's a bad thing, but if it interferes with you, and look, who am I to tell you to get more exercise? I mean, I think it's better long-term for you if you're, hey, you know what? Instead of spending that extra half hour playing Fortnite, maybe I should go for a walk. I would suggest going for the walk for that extra half hour. We probably do have more people spending time because of all the different options you have with computers and your smartphones that you probably spend more time. Well, I'm certain, I don't feel like I'm part of that group, because like I say, when I'm on my phone, it would be no different. What I like about it is the newspaper, once that newspaper hits the stoop or my driveway tomorrow morning, that news is now really old, especially if I wait until the evening to read it.
Yep.
It's a day and a half, 2 days old. The stuff that's on my phone, it's like they always tell you how long the story's been out. 4 minutes, 55 minutes, an hour, 48 minutes. I'm getting updated stories all the time. So that's what
I like. And you're doing it for work, which is going to be my point.
Correct.
You know, I think when we read studies like this, we think of like leisure time, that people are just constantly on social media, and which they are. But I think another problem we have, and the phone is the huge reason for it, is I think everyone works basically 24 hours a day now. Right? When you're at home, there was a time in which 5 o'clock would hit and you separate yourself from work at 5 o'clock. Now everyone's bringing work home with them at all times. So you're reading.
Well,
everyone but you. And,
yeah, sad, really.
But even you, when you're talking about reading those stories at night, that's for work. You're not doing that for pleasure.
Correct.
And we're now, I think our country more so than most has to be attached to what's going on at work at all hours of the day. And which is probably why financially we thrive, but it's also might not be good from a health standpoint.
That was very well said.
But it's hard to break out of that mentality.
I'm going to give you a little one
brilliant.
Of these brilliant stickers. I think you're right. For me, I think I've got a good handle on it, me personally. I really do. Thank you.
Question number three. It's time now for a look at the leaks. Grade the trade.
The Lynx acquired guard Odyssey Sims from the LA Sparks yesterday in exchange for up-and-coming guard Alexis Jones. In 156 career games, Sims holds averages on 12.8 points, 2.6 rebounds, and 3.6 assists. Comment, how do you think the Lynx are going to do this year, and can you
grade the trade?
Who did we trade?
We traded Alexis Jones for Odyssey Sims.
That Sims, what an odyssey your career has been. She's been for so many different teams. I don't know enough about either player. I'm paying about as close attention to the Lynx as I am UMD hockey, which is very little to none. So, missing Waylon will be bad, and one of our other gals retired for a year, Maya. Those are two.
It'll be a rough year, I think.
Those are two pretty important players to the team. So, yes, I agree. I would think. I don't think I'm going to plan a parade route, which is the bad news. The good news is, there should be no looting at the dress barn and no overturned and burning carts at Bed Bath & Beyond.
What we will get to see this year is how good of a coach Cheryl Reeve is, right? Like, everyone just assumes she's really good because they've won, four titles? And you're not going to be bad. You're not going to be a bad coach doing that. But it's the old Phil Jackson theory of, where he had Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and then he had Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal. Cheryl Reeve has always had lots of talent here.
A lot of talent.
That talent is now gone. Now I think not saying she's a failure if they have a bad season.
But can she coach them up and get more out of a team that doesn't have as much talent? Doesn't mean she has to win a WNBA title, but have a winning record, qualify for the playoffs, maybe steal a series, beat a team you're not supposed to. I would tend to agree. I'm going to give you another
brilliant
sticker.
And that's it for today's edition of 5 Questions. Brought to you by Green Mill Restaurant and Bar. Well, actually, 3 questions, but 5 sounds like more than 4.
A historic look at the Vikings National Football League draft. What is going to happen Thursday is only the third time it will happen to the Minnesota Vikings in the history of the National Football League draft. Maybe. I'll explain. Other side of the break, Common Man program on the Fan.
The Common Man.
The first 15 minutes, I turned to my wife, I'm like, I don't like this.
I don't know what's happening.
I don't know what's happening.
Weekdays at noon on The Fan.
National Cash Contest time. Time to put a grand in your hand. This hour, your keyword is Java. Text that keyword Java to 200-200 to enter. Standard text messaging and data rates may apply. Text the keyword Java to 200-200. Also, check out our contest page at KFAN.com for details on how you can upgrade your current grill with a brand new Napoleon Prestige 500 grill up for grabs thanks to our friends at Warner Stellion.
Wow, that's a shortened version of that song. Just jump past all kinds of things. That's all right, too. A couple 13, 14 passed. Genevieve, I did some exhaustive research last night. You know, getting back to our previous segment where you said many people spend time on their handheld computer that doubles as a communication device or the computer actually using it for work-related issues.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I did in researching this next segment. I actually put some research into this. The soon-to-be big-game world champion Minnesota Vikings have conducted how many drafts now? 53, 54 they've been involved in, right? So they started 1961. So how many drafts is that the Vikings have been involved with?
That sounds like about 58.
So 58 times the Minnesota Vikings have had the commissioner go to the podium and say, with the number whatever pick in the NFL, only two times in the history of the Minnesota Vikings, if I did my research correctly, tend to be, have the Vikings had the 18th selection in the first round in the National Football League draft. Two times. Do you want to take a guess who those two players were?
I feel like for some reason, Erasmus James, I feel, was
18th. That is correct. Erasmus James, the most recent 18th pick overall in the National Football League.
And was Randy Moss the other one?
Nope, he was 21. Because when I started doing my research, I thought Moss was 18 as well. Dwayne Washington.
Oh, boy.
Dwayne Washington. He was the first 10th pick overall. Dwayne Washington, a former American football cornerback in the National Football League. He played for the Vikings, Steelers, Jaguars, and Kansas City Chiefs. He was a first-round pick in the 94 NFL draft from North Carolina State University. Started all 16 games for the Vikings as a rookie in 1994. He recorded 75 tackles, 69 solo. You have to tell me if these are good numbers. I've never been a counting tackles, assisted, unassisted, deflections. Sacks is about, and interceptions are about the only statistics that I can tell. That's a really good number.
I think tackles might be the most overrated statistic in all of football.
Okay.
My apologies to Chad Greenway, but...
Because a lot of times the guys have gotten by the front line and just grab and drag.
Yeah, if let's say you're a linebacker who's making the tackle 6 yards in, that wasn't a great play.
Yeah.
Or if you're a defensive back that's making a lot of tackles, was that because they were throwing at your guy a lot?
Right.
Right? But, you know, it's just...
Or was the guy running to daylight and had all this turf and you were the last guy to get him down?
I like TFLs and sacks.
What's a TFL?
Tackle for loss.
Washington recorded 75 tackles, 69 solo. Had three interceptions for 135 yards and two touchdowns as a rookie.
That's pretty good.
Dwayne Washington was named Defensive Rookie of the Year by College and Pro Football Weekly and earned all rookie honors from Pro Football Weekly and the Pro Football Writers of America. The Vikings won the NFC Central with a 10-6 record but lost in the first round of the 94 NFL playoffs. That surprises me the Vikings would get ousted in the first round of the playoffs. Then it talks about what he did for Washington and the Pittsburgh Steelers. In 95, he played in 15 games, 62 total tackles, 57 solo, one pick for 25 yards. He only missed one game in his career. For the next 10 NFL seasons, he did not miss a game. 96, he recorded 75 tackles, two picks, and a touchdown. 97, 84 tackles, 74 solo. Four interceptions for 71, but no touchdowns. He was a starter for the Vikings that entered the 97 NFL playoffs as a wild card team, upsetting the Giants in the first round before falling to the San Francisco 49ers in the divisional playoffs. That's the one where, gosh, how did that go? That's where McMahon led them back. We were way behind. Didn't we try an onside kick and got, I remember Denny was talking about a brilliant job coaching he did, but Big Ticket ripped him for it. That doesn't surprise you, does it? Big Ticket being negative about a Vikings victory. I can't remember all the background, but I do think the Vikings kind of lucked into a victory there.
What year was that?
That would have been 1997. Then in 1998, Dwayne Washington was signed by Pittsburgh as an unrestricted free agent. So Tennessee, with the 18th pick, with the 18th overall pick in the National Football League draft, the Minnesota Vikings select Dwayne Washington, defensive back out of North Carolina State. Do you think they got good value for the 18th pick then with Dwayne Washington?
He was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not brilliant, but good. He won. He got some Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, he played. Yeah.
And he got some Rookie of the Year honors. Are you looking up that Viking playoff game?
So was 19- it was Vikings it? 23, Giants 22?
That's it. Yeah.
Because the Vikings outscored him 13-3 in the fourth.
Yes.
You know, I always thought Randall Cunningham was only our quarterback for the 98 season. I don't know. I didn't realize he was quarterback the year before.
I don't remember that, but I'll have to take your word for it. Erasmus James is an American football defensive end who is currently a free agent. Huh? Is he still in the league? How old is this Wikipedia page?
I don't think it's been updated.
It doesn't sound like it's been updated at all. I guess he technically is a free agent if somebody wants to sign Erasmus James. He was drafted by the Vikings 18th overall in the 2005 NFL draft, played professionally for the Vikings and Washington. His rookie year, he compiled 28 total tackles and 4 sacks. He missed most of the 06-07 seasons with injuries. The Vikings made their intentions to clear to waive James on May 23rd, 2008, but later rescinded the waiver after the Washington Redskins offered a conditional 2009 seventh-round draft choice. He finished his injury-plagued career with the Vikings with 37 tackles and 5 sacks. So I would say with the 18th pick overall, that was an abject failure.
That was a failure.
So a modicum of success with Dwayne Washington, with the a total abject failure with Erasmus James. And I tease a segment by saying, you know, the Vikings would do something for the third time in team history, maybe, because they could trade out of that spot. That's why I said maybe. We don't know that they'll take a player with 18. Let's certainly hope there's more success than both of those two players. Because, especially if they do go offensive line, the last thing this club needs is Tony Mandarich all over again, like Green Bay back the year Barry Sanders was drafted. If they go offensive line, and remember, I said it, Florio stole my take, there's nobody out there that knows if these guys, I mean, there are some, I guess there are some can't-miss guys, right? Have there been can't-miss guys that were drafted
sure. In
top 10 and they ended up being brilliant players? I'm sure there have.
There's nothing certain in the NFL draft.
But there isn't. But that the Vikings need, especially if you believe that big game opportunity windows open and close. They do for everybody but New England, right? But every other team, they open and close, right? There are eras in every team's history where you go, this looks like the age of Aquarius. Moon is in the seventh house. Jupiter is aligned with Mars. For the next year or two, we got a chance. And the Vikings, that's why they went out and got Cousins last year, because they said, we went from the Minnesota Miracle to the Philadelphia Flop. We really weren't that far out of getting to the big game. Just a touchdown, two-point conversion, onside kick. Touchdown, two-point conversion, onside kick. Touchdown, two-point conversion, onside kick. Then went out and got Cousins, whether you agree with that or not. But that was definitely done for immediacy. And because they love their defense, and rightly so. Got some decent wideouts. They love their running back. They thought they could coach up the offensive line, thought getting O'Neal, hide a few things. You know, maybe we can, because, you know, you don't have to have the best line in pro football to win a big game world championship. You don't. It's been done many times without it. Sure helps. So I do think there's kind of a window here. We got guys signed to pretty big deals on the defensive side of the ball. We're set there. We just locked in our two wideouts, right? Haven't had to lock in our running back yet. We don't know if he's quite worth it. Most people think he is. I'm one of the few. Is that called an outlier?
Outlier.
Outlier? I'm an outlier on that, and I lie for a living. I'm not sure, but there you go. So if at 18 you take a lineman, you have to hope he's closer to Randall McDaniel than he is Bryant McKinney, right? But that's what you got to have.
But if you don't believe there's a Randall McDaniel or someone, I'm still of the belief that you don't force an offensive lineman just because you think that's what you need.
You take Rockenhoff, the tight end. Is that his name, Rockenhoff?
I'm taking the best player available.
Is his name Rockenhoff?
Hockendorf. Or something.
If Hockendorf is there, and you think Hockendorf is somewhere between Kellen Winslow and Gronkowski,
you take him.
You take him and you go, you know what we'll do? We got a second round pick and we'll get an offensive lineman there. Move up. We'll package a couple picks and get an offensive line. Get Hockenstock and go ahead and get an offensive lineman. That's what I would do if I was running the show. We'll see what Mark Rosen would do. He'll be wishy-washy. Of course, he'll join us a couple 13, 14 minutes from now here on The Fan. I have a tease lined up. This is, hit the music. It's a handheld computer story. Was that, a brouhaha in one of the local team's locker rooms? I'll explain when we come back to the Grum right here on The Fan.
The Common Man.
Like him or dislike him, and I would fall towards the latter. He's as good as they get.
Weekdays at noon on The Fan.
Rock, pop, and country come together for the three-day music festival in our own backyard, Twin Cities Summer Jam. Presented by Mystic Lake, it's July 18th, 19th, 20th at Canterbury Park. It's a festival of music as unique as your personal playlist. Tickets on sale now exclusively at tcsummerjam.com.
Couple 13, 14 past Common Man program emails accepted at kfan.com. Our sponsor for the emails, Brad Sean Bryant inbox. This one says, Common, how much would you give to be a fly on the wall when Tenneby, the man who wears a pink shirt his wife picked out, tells the mother of his two young children that he'd like to drive a couple hours down to Iowa to place a series of long shot value bets on local sports teams? I would like to be the fly on the wall. That would be a very interesting conversation. Brilliant. A very interesting conversation. This email regarding gambling says, gambling fallacy, it says, people wanting sports gambling deep down think they can beat a game where the house keeps a percentage of any winnings and you get taxed on any large winnings. Every gambler thinks they're going to get rich because they're smarter than all the suckers. Okay. Sad, really. He's right. I mean, that still doesn't mean you can't have fun with it.
Well, it's entertainment.
But most people, like, and Tennessee is, you are one of them. You think you're a great gambler and that, boy, I can supplement my income. I'll end up making a lot of money.
I've said that with poker. Not with anything else.
You think you could do it playing cards, too? How many final tables did you get during the Paul Allen celebrity tournaments? How many did Common Man get? Two. With everybody gunning for me, too.
I think I've only played in one Paul Allen celebrity tournament.
Think about it. They're all gunning for me, too. All trying to get the Common, because there's a bounty on me.
Yeah.
I'm wearing that necklace that says, I think it was like $1.50 to whoever knocked me out. Everybody trying to beat the Common. Sad, really. Tenneby, did you find an open that would work for this bit?
Just have the loons open.
Okay, we'll go ahead and do it.
It's time now to take a look at the loons.
I think this is pptwincities.com, Fish Wrap Factory, West or East Side. Headline, Minnesota United emotions boiled over in dressing room after 4-3 loss to Toronto. You think they're loony? They got really loony in the locker room. Andy Greeter writes the story. It says, voices were raised and fingers were pointed.
Oh my gosh.
Within Minnesota United's dressing room after Friday's 4-3 loss to Toronto FC. There were more goals scored in that game tend to be than generally in a week's worth of games, right? 4-3 is a high-scoring soccer.
That's like Twins-Orioles-like.
The Loons had given up a 3-2 lead in the final 20 minutes and had two players sent off with red cards, curtailing a last-ditch comeback attempt at BMO Field in Toronto. Loons defender Michael Boxall said, a lot of tempers boiled over. A couple of us left our marks on the training room there. A lot of anger, a lot of disappointment, and rightfully so, because that's one or three points that we maybe should be bringing home. End of the quote. Coach Adrian Heath said Boxall was the first to raise his hand and assume blame after his failed clearance turned into Jordan Hamilton's game-winning header in the 79th minute. Heath has witnessed more players holding each other more accountable this season than in past years. He said, people don't do their job. People will come in and let them know.
Oh, my gosh.
I ought to start doing that to you. Oh, wait, I already have. You're not doing the things you used to do that made you good.
I always love that.
When I write that second book, I'll reveal who said that and to whom here at the radio station, but I won't do it now. Boxall's gesture didn't clear his conscience, however, with his mind racing through the play thousands of times. He was sprinting back to help goalkeeper Vito Mannoni, who came off his line to thwart an in-charging Josie Altidore. With Altidore's ball bouncing toward an open net, Boxall said, if I touch it, it's going in the goal, so I have to get around it to try and get it away. I have no idea that the other guy's steaming in. Hamilton connected with the ball as Boxall lunged toward it. Boxall was then thrust into a restless night's sleep in Toronto, tossing and turning. He needs to get one of those sleep number beds is what he needs to get. That is one of the most embarrassing moments of my career, he went on to say. Now, one lingering fallout from Friday is a level of exasperation and bewilderment. I'm getting choked up. Sorry. Can you hit the... I got a loon feather caught in my throat. One lingering fallout from Friday's a level of exasperation and bewilderment what the Loons should do with defender Francis Calvo, the Pioneer Press has learned. The Loons' three-year captain lashed out and drew a second yellow card when he tripped Toronto defender Aroro. He's a one-name guy. Aroro. A-U-R-O.
Oh, nice.
Sounds like an old Oldsmobile to me. In stoppage time, Calvin first received a yellow caution for dissent a minute prior as midfielder Jan Grigas was sent off for hooking Red Star Alejandro Pozuelo's leg in a tackle. It's like a very complicated game, a very physical game. Calvo and Grigas are now forced to sit out when Minnesota plays the LA Galaxy tomorrow at the Porta Potty Park. But with Calvo, United's been trying to figure out what's best for him since the preseason when Heath moved Calvo from preferred center spot. So in other words, Tenneby, I'm not going to read anymore. The story just goes on and on and on. But there's some bitterness and finger-pointing going on in that locker room already. And the season's not very old, is it? Is it possible this is all a ruse to generate more attention and excitement regarding the Loons? Boy, this team really means that. They want to win. They're not just out there, you know, going through the motions, just making a paycheck. By gosh, this Loons club, they're loony.
They never quit. Don't ever doubt this Loons club.
I could do my scarves up bit right now that Larry Mondello guy wrote for me, but I'll leave that for another day. You know, now I don't know. Again, I think it's a fine line in a locker room.
Yeah.
When you have dissension and finger pointing, sometimes I think it can. Do you think it can ever be healthy? Or is it never healthy no matter what? I guess it depends upon the outcome. If the smoke is cleared and everybody gets on the same page and it ends up benefiting the team, then it would be healthy, right? Sometimes it can break teams apart. I don't know if this team is a team that can be broken. I mean, they might not be worth keeping together. They might already be broken. Are the Loons any good?
I mean, they haven't made a postseason yet.
How many years have they been in business?
What, two?
Okay.
This year, three?
Or
was last year the first year?
I don't recall. No, I think they've had two. I think this might be year three.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I don't think the expectation is to win the whole thing this year.
I mean, take it to any of the other, how many other pro sports teams do we have that matter? I guess Loons, Lynx, and then the four majors, right?
Yeah.
If that happened,
and the Whitecaps.
And the Whitecaps. If that happened in any other locker room, the Whitecaps locker room, the Vikings, the Wild, would you be, this would be like a 5-3-4, concerned or confident?
I would say when you have fighting within the team, at least it does show that there's passion there and you have people that care. That's very important to success. When you're doing it this early in a season, that's not good. Because either you're panicking way too early, or the locker room might be a mess if it's happening at this point. Because what are they, 3-4 games in? So it seems a little soon for my liking. The other aspect of this is, and I don't know the complete makeup of the Loons team. I'm guessing there's a lot of international players.
Right.
I've always wondered how, because I see it in the NHL all the time. I remember back in the Jacques Lemaire days, Lubomir Sekerash.
Who?
Lubomir Sekerash. He was a defenseman.
Identify yourself. Are you sure that's the way you say it?
This is back in my interning days. And, you know, I got a press pass and got to go down to the locker room, and I brought the recorder with me.
Right.
And he scored the game-winning goal in overtime. So I'm like, I'm going to get out of my shell a little bit. I'm going to go try to interview him so we can have it for audio available for your show and Jed and Brera. And I go to ask him a question.
I use that audio, too, because you know me. I use a lot of audio. Go ahead.
I go to ask him a question, and he basically waved me off like, I don't speak English.
Right.
And someone said he doesn't speak English. And I'm thinking to myself, how does a guy survive in a National Hockey League locker room? One, interacting with other players, but like when your coach goes to explain something on the whiteboard, like, I mean, I know you can get the drawings a little bit by the X's and O's, but for the most part, if you can't communicate, and there's got to be multiple players within a hockey locker room and even the soccer locker room that aren't, one, they might not even speak English, and even if they are, English is not their primary language. I don't understand how that can all come together and
sign language? I mean,
well, it sounds like,
you know,
there's definitely
bleep you.
Definitely,
you
know, one sign that was being shown in that locker room.
It sounds like, and then you got A-OK. Those are the only two. Then a thumbs up. There's thumbs up, thumbs down, bleep you, and what was the other one I just said? Okay. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Fists up. Yeah.
You want to fight. So, yeah. That's a good point. It probably does make for a communication breakdown, which I think is a great song by Led Zeppelin, if you could play it on the side of the break. Communication Breakdown by Led Zeppelin. Do you think that in a soccer locker room, that as soon as they start pointing fingers, who's ever pointed at you just flops on the floor? Right? Because that's what they do in soccer. They do a lot of flops.
Or if one guy starts yelling and says some obscenities, someone walks by with a yellow card and holds it in front of his face.
Yeah, maybe they do that as well. So we'll see what Mark Rosen thinks about all of this.
Oh, boy.
And more when he joins the Common Man program, the new and improved Common Man program here on The Fan.
Joins the Common Man next.
Give me more drugs.
On the Fan.
Communication!
We've just had a communication breakdown. I just handed it over to you as constructive criticism.
That's fine.
An email that was basically saying, you're in love with the sound of your own voice.
Are you sure they weren't talking about you?
No.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Certainly not.
All right. I'll let you have the whole floor.
I saw a, on the crawl, I went into the studio, the master control studio, during a break, and I think Tenneby has, I don't know if it's NFL Network or ESPN or something's on. And there was the crawl that said, from minicamp, Josh Rosen, he doesn't like what's going on with the Cardinals pre-draft. Because rumor has it, the Cardinals were have been considering taking Kyler Murray with the first pick in the National Football League draft. The Arizona Cardinals select Kyler Murray, which just happens to be the same position Josh Rosen plays. And he was the first pick overall last year. Or was he first, or where was he? Was he the first? Did Arizona have back-to-back number ones or second or
I
third?
I think Rosen, yeah, he was number one.
Whatever. Wherever they drafted, they selected a quarterback.
Right.
He has his first year, mixed reviews, not a lot around him.
Sure.
And now there's, you know, the some of the rumors are the Cardinals would like to get another wide receiver. Now, but I also thought I just heard, somebody told me earlier today that now the Cardinals have made it clear that they might not go in that direction. So I don't know what to make of it, other than if you believe what I saw on the crawl with the last half hour, that Josh Rosen is annoyed. Does he have a right to be, A, and B, if he does, should he be expressing it publicly? Should he be talking about it behind closed doors? Or don't you think it matters either way?
Well, I think he's in a unique position. Number one, there's nothing wrong with being annoyed, especially after 1 year when you think you're drafted and knowing you're going to have a long leash to kind of help see this franchise through its dark days and see the opening at the end of the tunnel. But at the same time, I was hearing as add-ons, I actually was paying a little bit more attention to his draft talk, that people were saying they were giving him kudos for the way he's handled this whole situation,
okay.
Kyler Murray bit. And at the same time, I heard Florio on with PA today when I was zipping around town, and he was saying that all the so-called insiders, you know, the Schefters and the Rappaports, have basically been told by their bosses, do not speculate. Do not speculate on who the Arizona Cardinals may take number one, because you may end up looking pretty foolish. In other words, unless you know 100%, don't go with inside sources say they're going to take Murray, because it's so crazy. And again, I'm a firm believer in all that anyway. Let the thing play out a little bit. Josh Rosen's going to have a job. He was well compensated last year. So one way or another, he'll be employed in the NFL. And again, like any other young quarterback, and that's the problem with when these quarterbacks are drafted right out of junior year in college, that unlike the past, not that long ago, where they would sit for 2 or 3 years. I mean, look at Aaron Rodgers. That was a while ago, granted. But how many years did he sit behind Favre? Now, those situations, those scenarios, Aaron Rodgers would have been drafted
Favre
today.
Favre sat behind somebody in Atlanta before he was got traded, right?
I mean, it's... Now it's like you're playing, we're drafting you, and we may give you a couple games. You're not only playing, but we expect you to be a star, which is a really lot to ask for any of these young quarterbacks. You know, again, we've seen examples. We saw them last year, and look what's going on in Kansas City right now with Mahomes and others around the league. But, man, I'll tell you, it's tough. So I think Josh Rosen is caught up in that, you know, one of five really good young quarterbacks who now, what's today, what's the flavor of the month? To suggest that Murray's going to be better? Maybe he will be. But this is such a weird science of to me. I don't know how the pressure on those scouts in those rooms when you're making those big decisions. And, you know, you laugh about it. You do a great job of talking about it. I mean, nobody knows. You know, there's no surefire.
And if you fail, it can change the fortunes of a
Absolutely.
Franchise for a decade.
If you're projecting how a young 20-year-old who's, whether he's an offensive lineman that the Vikings supposedly are going to take or a quarterback, and all you know of what you've seen, how they've performed in college
right.
for a couple of years, Now they're going up against grown men and who have been in the league.
And the Heimlich maneuver test that they take to find out what's in there.
Exactly. I mean, it's you want to beat the odds and get the right people, not just the first round, but more importantly, the second, third, fourth rounds to contribute to your football team. But for people to say this has been a failure, I mean, it's not as far from a perfect science, despite how much money and resources they pour into it.
A story that I referred to either yesterday or maybe late last week, one of those that I found on my handheld computer, which doubles as a communication device, so, you know, a sports website, was suggesting that the Cardinals may be coming up with a new way of approaching the draft where they got a chance to get a quarterback, get him, accumulate quarterbacks. In other words, I mean, what if they went and got Kyler Murray?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they got two young, up-and-coming quarterbacks. Got
one of them will pan out, right?
One of them's going to pan out, and the other one, guess what? There's going to be another team that would there. You know, there are general managers out there right now that go, well, I'd take Josh Rosen in a heartbeat. I can get this guy to play. So let's say they get Kyler Murray. They battle in training camp. The Cards like Kyler Murray. They go, hey, who would like Josh Rosen? All of a sudden, now you've got a tradable asset, and people will pay a lot to get a franchise quarterback. Now, whether that's what they're doing here or not, I don't know. It was a theory by the author of the piece.
Right.
But it wouldn't be a bad idea. Just if you can get, you can accumulate talent at what is considered the most important position in sports, why wouldn't you do it?
Well, you know, and quarterbacks, we all know quarterbacks get hurt. Top, you know, starters get hurt. It would be an interesting departure if they were to take him and keep Rosen at the same time. And that's why this is why maybe that what Florio was getting at, that it's an exercise in futility right now to try to speculate on what Arizona is going to do. And it will set the tone, obviously, for the rest of the draft with a number of quarterbacks that are taken, you know, way before the Vikings select 18th overall. But every year we got a few of those guys, and you go, well, good luck trying to figure out which one will emerge as the next Patrick Mahomes.
Speaking of the 18th pick, I did some research, believe it or not.
No.
Yes, and the Vikings have twice in their 57-year history had the 18th pick overall in the National Football League draft.
Okay.
The first time was Dwayne Washington.
Oh, boy.
The second time, Erasmus James. Now, Washington, as we look back on his Wikipedia page, well, he got a lot of Rookie of the Year honors his opening year.
Yeah, he was good. He was good.
And then the next few years, it was about the same, maybe a little bit less in productivity. Then he left as a free agent to the Steelers, and Erasmus James, as we know, barely made it.
That was the same year that Troy Williamson draft, I believe.
I think you might be right.
Yeah, I think they took Williamson, and then they had that second pick, and Erasmus James from Wisconsin did not quite pan out.
So those are your two. Yeah. If you're looking historically, it's always interesting. People do it all the time.
Yeah, they do.
What have they done with their, anytime they've had the 18th pick or the first, whatever they're drafting, to look back on that. So the Vikings, this will only be their third time if they hang on to the pick.
Yeah, they could trade down.
Could trade. I was thinking, and again, everybody has what they would do, of course, until you're in that chair and have all the pressure of actually having to, like we say, your decisions could change the direction of a franchise, could alter the direction of a franchise for a decade even, right?
Absolutely.
Or certainly 3 or 4 years. That tight end for Iowa intrigues me. Could you, is this stupid? And again, you got to find a willing partner, and then will he still be there when you do? But do you trade up to, like, with the kiddies for the 8 spot, get the tight end,
Do you guys want some Rick Spielman cliches right now? His press conference just started.
Oh, well,
did it really?
Let's go ahead.
I said everybody, I think, is ready to just get this going. You know, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday probably can't get here quick enough as we go through this process. like to thank a lot of people, but I went through and asked Kelly Klein, my college coordinator, how many people actually have their hands on this process in our building. And we counted over 90 people that contribute some way, shape, or form to this whole process. So there's a lot of great people that put a lot of time and energy, but the main people are the college scouts, the pro scouts, George Payton, our director, Jamal Stevenson, Ryan Munnins, our pro director, and Coach Zimmer and the coaching staff just put in unbelievable amounts of time, not only here in these meetings, but out on the road doing all the film evaluations, and feel very confident where we're at right now with our draft board. We're doing some more things this afternoon and doing some tweaks here and there through tomorrow. And then Thursday, we're excited and to get ready to roll. So with that, I'll go ahead and open it up with questions.
Is wearing women's underwear part of your turn-on?
Is this offensive line class, in your estimation?
I think there's a lot of deep positions in this class. I think when we looked at our front board, this is the most number of players we have that we think are draftable. I don't think every team has, 234 draft picks that say 234 players are draftable. But I know from our board this year and the way it's developed, the depth of talent, especially on the offense and defensive lines, are one of the probably strongest I've seen in a while. So I know on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and those two picks Friday as of today, that you should be able to land some players who can come in and make an impact on your roster.
With all the big contracts that you've signed in recent years, how much more importance does that place on either additional draft picks or really being good in the later rounds?
We've always put a point of emphasis on that. And I know with how top-heavy our roster is right now with the contracts we have out there, these players that we're bringing in have to come in and contribute. And, you know, all these players that do have these big contracts were basically brought in, developed, and then received it. So I think the process we have in place and us working hand-in-hand with the coaches, which I think is vital. In fact, the coaches were back in again. We're bringing them in position by position, and the coordinators going through everything one more time. Because of the importance of the draft classes that are coming in, being able to contribute, and this coaching staff does a phenomenal job of developing these guys, because that's going to be the guys, if we do get anyone hurt, those are the guys that are going to line up and play for you.
Since Coach Kubiak came in, does that change the draft strategy at all because he likes a certain type of offensive player? Or
I think it's Kevin Stefanski, but I know with what he's changed and the influence of Gary Kubiak and the style of offense we're going to run, along with Rico Dennison at the offensive line position, there are traits that we're looking for. So as we talk about each one of these players, some players are going to be very good players, but they may not be very good players in what we're going to require them to do from a schematic standpoint. So everybody talks about the zone scheme versus a gap scheme. And just to clarify, gap guys are more road graders moving forward, double teams. Zone scheme guys are going to be more athletic, being able to work at the second level, out to the linebackers, being able to do outside zone, have to run laterally. So there's a point of emphasis on specific traits we're looking for to run what they're going to run offense. And when you can get on the same page with the coaches where we recognize this guy is a good player, but he may be a really good starter in this scheme, but he may not be a really good starter in another scheme. So you have to marry that up, and that's why it's so important for us on the personnel side to understand what the requirements are for these players at their position. And that's just from the football side. Now, all the other things that we look for have to check the boxes as well.
To follow up what you said a minute ago in terms of you guys being up against the salary cap and wanting guys to contribute immediately, is there maybe more of an emphasis to get guys that can play right away versus taking some more developmental players?
I don't want to call it more of an emphasis. I hope that we've always put a high emphasis on the draft, and we want to draft the players. You know, we understand if we can fill with the way, you know, the draft board has developed, if there's a player that we have a lot of depth at and a player that we don't have a lot of depth at, that now we can go ahead and fill a need. But that need, that player to fill that need has to be the same value of where he is developed on the draft board. We'll never, ever take a player develop lower just to fill a need, because that's when you truly make mistakes.
Rick, you probably don't share the local angst over the condition of the offensive line. Do you understand it?
Angst. Everybody has angst. My wife, I'll leave that at home. She said if I draft another corner, though, we might don't come home. She goes, you can just stay at the office, although there's some pretty good corners we like in the first round. But, no, I understand where everything is, but I also understand that if we have a guy that we think is a Pro Bowl talent and for some reason that guy falls to us at 18, how do you not take that player? And plus, you have to balance out the depth at each position, too. So if there's a unique situation where a Pro Bowl caliber player falls to you at 18 and you're taking a lesser talent player, I think you're going to make a mistake. But I also believe that with the depth at certain positions, when it goes into this Friday draft, you're also going to get some pretty significant players. We always look at, as we make the decisions too, is, okay, you have player at this position and player at this position, and all of a sudden the player, which one are you going to take? Well, we can say we're going to take this one because underneath him there's a huge drop-off. So if we don't take him right here, okay, we're not going to get a need filled with a good player. If there's four or five more players underneath that we do like, that's when the potential is just take the, you know, one of those guys that fall to you. It could be let's trade back in the draft to accumulate more draft picks because we're still going to get the same value of player as long as we have those four or five names there. So you also got to really pay attention to where the run of the positions go in the draft. And a lot of times, you know, 2 years ago we had to move up to get a Pat Elflein, for example. You know, because there was a run right in there, and he was one of the few players left that we liked. Last year, you know, the run on the offensive lineman went earlier than where we picked. So you have to weigh all that out, and then you have to be able to react once you see how that board is coming off and where the runs are on positions.
How many guys you have graded as draftable? Does that make it more willing to trade back and pick up more picks?
Depends on the position. You know, there's some really good depth at certain positions, but we may not need depth there. But you kind of go in with the mindset of, let's not worry about, let's just go get the best players in this draft. And it'll sort itself out once we get into the OTAs and once we get into training camp. Because if you don't, and then all of a sudden you have a rash of injuries, then you're maybe kicking yourself, why didn't I take that player? So you always kind of go into a draft, I think, really truly honing in on let's just get the best guys that we possibly can and get them in here and hopefully fill in needs at the same time.
How has the NFL draft smoke screens evolved over the years in today's
game? Well, I don't think there's any smoke screens out there. Everything I read you guys write is really true.
Do you believe anything that's out there, or is it harder to believe things now than maybe?
It's entertaining to read, to be honest with you. But to be honest, also is I don't know what other teams are thinking right now. Teams don't know what we're thinking. Teams can be putting stuff out there that may not be true, but they want it out there. So all we're doing is just honing in on what we believe, what our draft board is, how we have that draft board developed, and how we're going to attack this draft. You know, there's a lot of stuff going around this time of year out there. But we're kind of block that all out and just hone in on what you need to do to help your franchise.
Did you teams ever use the top 30 visits to throw the scent off, like invite a guy that you have no interest in just to put it out there, especially if there's been a report that you're linked to that guy?
I don't know how other teams do that or not. You know, I won't share if we do that or not. There's a lot of games that go on this time of year, so
a lot of subterfuge.
Try to be very efficient at what we do.
Yeah, let's go ahead and that's enough. We weren't going to get anything. We had to get a flavor of it.
Yeah, though. It was a good flavor. I mean, I think it's interesting when he Rick Spielman, who just heard from out at TCO facility performance center pre-draft his annual pre-draft news conference. when he talked about we don't want to take the chance of missing a, he described him as a Pro Bowl type player for a position of need. But again, the assumption is that you have identified this player A, B, or C as a Pro Bowl type player, and that's what they do all the work for when they make that decision, saying, well, if we got a, I see a defensive lineman that drops to us, and we feel he's a Pro Bowler, and yeah, we got all these offensive linemen out here still, but we're going to wait and maybe take one of those now in the second round. We got to go with the best player available. Isn't that what you sort of? I mean, if
that's the Tennessee approach.
If Hockenhoff is there, the tight end from Iowa, I take him at 18.
Yeah, I think the Lions are going to take him.
If he's available at 18.
Yeah, I don't think he'll. But yeah, I get what you're saying. That's
or
a
if the Lions
scenario.
Don't, or if the Lions don't, because they're playing the, and the Quinn character could be just making up as he goes along.
It's possible.
But he said he would love to entertain calls about trading for the 8th pick. And I tend to believe him because he learned under Belichick in New England.
Right.
And that's what they do. They're not afraid. Now, they don't get high picks very often because they're usually getting the 31st or the 32nd
pick. It's really hurt them a lot, hasn't it?
But when they do, they don't mind trading them. No. They trade picks. They've got no problem accumulating more picks because they look at more as better. If we've got 20 guys that we draft, 10 of them are probably going to pan out. If we only have 7, 2 of them are going to pan out.
It's fascinating to have, if you want to be a little proverbial little bird in that room, and as the 10th, 11th, 12th picks, and they're getting down closer to their pick, how many of those conversations are going on? If this player is available, we are going to take him. So there's not a lot of discussion to be had when it's number 18 comes up on the board. That basically by way before then, you've pretty much decided it's going to be either this player or that player. But who's biggest? Who's got the biggest voice in that room?
We'll pause, come back, might do a dabble in a little bit more draft talk. Of course, one of the best teams in baseball, if not the best team in baseball, is on a roll. We'll talk about them. But right now, let's try to put a grand in somebody's hand.
Time for that national cash contest. Your keyword this hour is race. Text the keyword race at 200-200 to enter. Standard text messaging and data rates may apply. Keyword race. Text it to 200-200.
After 40-plus years, he still brings the heat. It's Mark Rosen with the Common Man on the Fan.
Join the Fan at the Miller Lite Vikings draft party for a live broadcast during the first round of the NFL draft on April 25th on the field at U.S. Bank Stadium. If you plan to attend, stop by and see us on the field. You can win awesome prize packs thanks to the Minnesota Lottery, including $50 scratch-offs and a gift bag. Visit Vikings.com/draft party for tickets and more information.
Couple 13, 14 pass. This is sort of a short segment, so I want to squeeze in some calls because I know you want to crow about your Twins prediction. You said they'd win the division. They're right now have the second best record in baseball.
Okay. Are we getting ready? Are they printing playoff tickets right now? I missed
Lavelle Neal's back. Did you see this group conversation, Tennessee? What is his point?
I don't know.
Out of nowhere, 1240, he goes, Houston's the fourth largest market in the country and has more revenue than they were tanking a few years ago. What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know.
Maybe he was referring to...
We were talking about how Houston went out.
Uh-huh.
See, he's such a honestly, it's getting really old with him. He's in their back pocket. You were the biggest Polat pocket protector.
I was.
In town. He is now. He keeps going with the more revenue. One last time for Lavelle, because he doesn't seem to understand.
So you were involved in this group text, is that correct?
Well, I get sent. I'd really participate in them.
Yeah.
There is no salary cap in Major League Baseball. It's the only major sport in which that is true. That means it doesn't matter what size your market is. It matters how big your personal wealth is. Because you can spend money that isn't generated by the team if you so choose. You can do that. There are owners that have done that.
Many times.
They choose not to do it. Houston did tank. They said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to break it down.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to build up with our farm system. And then we're going to go out and spend money on pitching, which is exactly what they did. And they won a World Series.
They did.
And did they not return to one again or at least got to the league championship?
Yeah, I think
got
the league championship. I don't believe they were back.
It's not the only way to do it, spend money, but why he wants Houston's to he wants to insist, why he's protecting the... There's not a fan out there, maybe a couple of them, that wouldn't love if the Twins went out and got the Kimbrel character or the Keuchel character and said, let's try to win this thing and spend it. And it's not money that's going to break the franchise. It's not like with the Vikings where you go, if you sign another guy to that kind of a contract, what are we going to do about this position?
Right.
It's not like they could spend, if they wanted to, I'm not suggesting they want to, though, they could spend $1 billion on payroll if they wanted to. They could spend it. There's no limits.
Verlander was signed late in the year, right? Right before the trading deadline.
But they re-signed him.
I get that. My point has been, and I know Jack Morris is just, I mean, he's talked about his theory about getting that player sooner than later so he can be part of this process. That, you know, I've said many, many times, shame on the Twins if they continue to play like they are and are very competitive, either vying with or being ahead of the Cleveland Indians. You better make a move by the trading deadline. You better be buyers at that point to send that message to the clubhouse and, more importantly, to the fans that you're interested in winning and winning now because you do have that kind of a team to make a run the last 3 months of the season.
Sooner rather than later is what I would.
Well, I mean, yeah. There's different ways of looking
at that. I know, but they're doing it this way because.
But if they do it to anything, shame on them. What I'm saying is they've done nothing.
You know what? The Pollad brothers. I'm just telling you. You don't have to believe this. They don't like what they're seeing on the field right now.
Oh, come on.
That's
preposterous.
Because they know that their feet will be put to the fire and they'll have to go out and get a pitcher, and they won't do it.
I will agree to disagree with you on that one. Right. That you don't think that they want to win.
They don't.
I think they want to see their attendance swell.
They want to make
money. And the way your attendance swells during the summer months is by winning baseball
games.
Then
why wouldn't they go out and do a better job at acquiring better players?
Well, I mean, right now or
for the past 40 years that they've owned the club.
We've had this discussion.
And that's what I'm saying.
I'm talking about right now.
You tell me this.
Maybe different management people as well.
You tell me this. What, easy question. If the Pollad brothers were faced with this dilemma.
Well, it's just Jim Pollad.
If Jim Pollad was faced with this dilemma, win and lose money or lose and make money, which do you think he picks? Which one do you think he picks? Which one do you think he picks, Mark? Make a commitment here. Don't be wishy-washy. That's the question. Which one do you think they do?
He saw his father raise a World Series trophy twice. I think he wants to win. Winning and losing money, meaning what, that you're going to invest. How are you going to win and lose money? By investing $20 million in a pitcher? Is that
right,
what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay. I think at this point he'd love to lift a World Series trophy.
Huh?
I absolutely do.
There's not.
I don't think there's an owner.
There's nothing in there in their actions that would lead anybody to believe that's true.
Well, I disagree, I mean, to a certain extent right now, because I think we're seeing with Falvey and Levine, who are running the show, they would not have taken this job if they had conversations with their boss and said, look, we got to sit down and find out, where are you at here? I want to know how much leeway I have as time goes on, and this is only their second full year, to say not only making a change in the manager, but I want to know how much flexibility I have to go get somebody if we need to. And I can't imagine Jim Pollard said, look, guys, here's the deal. I want to be competitive, but when it comes to push, comes to shove, I don't want to win. I don't want to lose money.
You don't say it that way.
Well, but are you talking in code?
You say, here's your budget. You don't go over this amount of money.
Right.
You don't think that conversation has to take place?
I think there's budgets, absolutely. There are budgets. I'm just saying, I don't think you can just... Revisionist history. I don't think you can just look at what's going on right now. They built this team. Look at they've already had a stroke of luck. I think Polanco, I think, is under contract for I don't know how many years. Mm-hmm. And they've got him right now the way he's, again, it's small sample size, but he could look like a hell of a bargain. Right. So maybe they do go and invest heavily in someone else. If we get to this point, we're having this discussion in July and the Twins are two up or two behind Cleveland and they got to, you know, San Francisco's floundering. An ace they're trying to get rid of.
What if we move
salary?
What if we move now instead of July? Well, instead of a two games up or down, we're 10 games.
Yeah, well, that's true. When you say move,
what did Jack Morris say?
You're right, but you got to give something.
Who do you trust more?
Jack Morris.
You don't have to give anything up.
Well, if you're signing who? Kimbrel? I'd like to see him sign Kimbrel.
All you do is sign him.
No, you could.
It's that simple.
I said I wanted to sign Kimbrel last night. I mean, again, I mean, there are times when that discussion is going to be had. And, you know, Houston, this just in, Houston's got a really good team. Now, I think a lot of people blame Jason Castro behind the plate as much as the home run he gave up to Correa because of the way he framed the pitch at that particular moment. You know, but Houston's going to score runs against you. And keep in mind, they're still waiting for Miguel Sano to get back.
Someone sent an email. How many are you going to add, and who are you going to let go? Boy, there's no untouchable players on this club.
Well,
I mean, there's all sorts of players. If you get,
but you don't have to right now. I mean, if you're going to sign a Kimbrel, right? Not right now. I mean, you're not going to make big. You're not going to make a trade. The Yankees have a dozen players on the disabled list, I think, right now, and they're still keeping their head above water. They're not going to make trades right now.
I don't know why you always compare the.
I'm not comparing
to the
Yankees. I'm just
every
talking about team that.
You do
I'm just talking about team that's fought.
No, but you do it all the time. You always say, "Well, you always use the Red Sox and the Yankees as examples. Well, the Yankees aren't doing that. Look at how bad they're playing."
No, I'm just talking about the fact that they would be in a position right now. You know, they're only three games out, and they have half dozen players on the disabled list.
But they'll come off the disabled list. They have these players already. They've spent the money, and they've got the quality players. No. We don't have them.
We don't have the quality pitching.
Correct.
They don't have.
And we're not going to get it.
Yep.
And here's what's going to happen. Mark my words. Your prediction will come true. They'll clinch their little division, and then they'll get swept in three games because maybe Barrios will win a game. We'll lose 3-1 because every one of our other starters will fold under the pressure of big-time lineups where every single, unless we just outslug them. Unless we somehow tell you, and we have a good lineup,
mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what we're hoping. We're going to win a bunch of 10-6 ball games. I don't believe it. I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, again, you're extrapolating numbers here in April that you believe are going to happen in September.
Got to always be thinking ahead, can't well, be? You can't
I
just be looking
that,
one
I
step
said,
forward.
I can't argue your point until something happens or doesn't happen in July, if it gets to that point where the Twins are in contention and they make a trade. You could have this
they're
argument.
They're in contention right now. They're the best team in baseball.
I'm just talking about trading deadline stuff that you see where a team is desperate to unload salary. Like a team like the San Francisco Giants.
Okay, I'll wait.
We can't have that discussion. You can just keep beating me up every day or beating us up on that point because I can't argue with you about it. Okay. And if you're right about that, I'll tell you. I don't know why they didn't pull the trigger on a deal. That's all.
I'm just going to twiddle my thumbs and wait every day. Mark off a day on the calendar.
Enjoy the season, as Mike Tice said. Enjoy the season.
That's what they
have some fun right
now. That's what they told us last year and the year before and the year before.
No, I think you can come on now. You know this team right now, the feel of it, getting and you could see the difference from a lineup standpoint. My goodness. When was the last time they had a professional hitter like Cruz in this lineup? I mean, his demeanor, I mean, it looks like
Joe Mauer was a professional hitter.
Well, he was, but I'm talking about a guy with power and that sort of presence at the plate. The Twins haven't had a guy like that for quite a while.
Jim Thome was that guy. He had power and poise. Well, he did.
And what year was that?
I don't know, but you said when was the last time? Well, that's when they
had been a long time.
Why did they wait so long to get that guy? That's my question to you. Why did they wait that long? You can't talk me out of what I know is right, and they don't want to contend. They don't until they make a move and get a real pitching staff. You saw last night that pitching staff tried to give that game away.
Well, again, they're playing the best team, arguably the best team in baseball, with the best lineups in baseball. You're going to get hit by those guys. You make it sound like, well, Correa and Altuve and Springer, these guys are just, you know, slugs up there, like they're playing the Baltimore Orioles. That's a hell of a lineup you're facing.
Okay.
I mean, you can't. I mean, they could do that against any pitcher, and they have done it against every
pitcher. We're the cute little club. We'll take some phone calls. Other side of the break with Mark Rosen here on the Common Man program. Well, we affectionately call the fan.
It's Mark Rosen with the Common Man on the Fan. And then it went off.
Where would you rank this on your favorite Led Zeppelin songs?
Top 10.
Okay. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Before we go to calls. Last thing I'm going to say about this for now.
That's fine. Get fired up about it. I like your enthusiasm.
Someone said, are we going to talk every day about Twins payroll? Tiresome at best. I said, no, segment killing at best. Because that's what we do in this business.
Yeah, we do.
If it was announced today, let's just for argument, the Twins are home to Baltimore Friday?
They're back home on Friday. Houston back here next Monday.
What if it was announced right now, breaking news. The Minnesota Twins just signed Dallas Keuchel to a one-year contract, and he would start Friday against Baltimore. How many tickets do you think would get sold for that game?
20,000.
For sure, 20. Maybe more.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, it's
And as this emailer says,
probably
hey, Common, some simple baseball analytics. If the Twins do well and draw 5,000 more people to the ballpark for 60 games this year at $50 a seat,
right?
And that's, you know, you can say, well, not every seat's $50. Well, they're going to buy some concessions. Just say $50 per person. That's $15 million. That pays for your pitcher.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Well,
so
my point is they will, if they continue to play this kind of baseball, and it's not just the fact of they're winning, obviously, they're at 13-7, but they're playing the long ball, they're setting already records for home runs, and this is the kind of stuff that people want to go see at the ballpark. They're excited by Astudillo, they're excited about Polanco, they're excited about Rosario, they're excited about Cruz, you know. They'll pack this place. I mean, they'll draw real well, I think, this summer. Now, again, that taking that money and doing that extrapolating the math from that, pretty simple. You could afford to go out and do whatever you want.
But, Tennessee, save this audio.
Okay.
At trade deadline, they will say, let's say in their first place. We like what we got right now. There's no need to make a move, and they won't make a move. They'll stay because they'll
make a minor move.
Or, that's what I was going to say, or they'll get, remember? Was
a cheap bullpen guy.
Yeah, was it like we got Presley or somebody a year or two ago?
We'll get one of those kinds.
Yeah. That's what they'll do. They'll add a little bit of payroll. See, we're making a move, and then it might work out for them. It just might. This team might be enough the way it is now with the starting staff and the bullpen. Maybe wonders will cease to exist, and they will not need to make any move.
The bottom line is the bottom line. If they shun an opportunity to get a frontline starter who could be Verlander-like, if they were fortunate enough to win their division and go up against Houston or whomever wins the East, and they don't have a bona fide second starter behind Berríos that's pitching at that level, shame on them. I mean, that would be the ultimate kicking sand in the faces of the fans. I absolutely agree, because that's the only way you're going to win a series or be competitive in the postseason.
Here's a phone call from Mark. Mark, you're on the Fan. Thanks for calling.
Common, I was just worried about you yesterday. I don't want to get all mixed up and take up too much of your time.
What concerned you about me yesterday?
I was a little bit despondent yesterday when you found that box of resume papers.
Yes, I was. I was despondent. I didn't know if it was a practical joke. Mark, I didn't know if it was a practical joke or if someone was sending me a subliminal message.
Well, of course, but the guy's going to take that home and worry about it all night, right?
Yeah, that's what I did.
Exactly, and that's your dedication to your craft.
Thank you. I'm glad you noticed the dedication to my craft. Thank you.
And I am a first-time caller, and can I get a moniker quick?
Absolutely, you can.
Benny from Medelia.
Benny from Medelia, you're in, and I like the way you stink. I mean, think, Benny from Medelia. I like the way you think.
I gotta tie this together
okay.
a little bit.
All right, tie it up.
Remember when Tennessee wouldn't tell you about how he needed the day off on Thursday?
Yeah, he never did let us know. You got a little inside information?
I have a theory. Let's call it a conspiracy theory.
Okay, I'm ready for it. I like him.
I think that he left his box of resume papers on your desk, and I don't want to throw Tenna under the bus. I'm a wonderful listener and everything like that, but I got a strange feeling that you should, and I don't want to make you have to stay up all night.
Right.
Tonight.
I get it, Benny, from India. I know you're worried about my beauty sleep. Thanks for the phone call. We look for hearing from you soon. I think you're either on to something or you're on something.
I do agree.
Thanks, Ben.
I could be one or the other.
Or both.
I would take the latter.
So, Tennessee, that kind of just resume paper just kind of there, and you're off on Thursday, huh?
What?
Little video.
What are you talking about?
Little video coordinator's job? Is that what you're looking for?
I always love that one.
Here's our next phone call. This one's from Scott. Scott, you're on the Fan. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call again. I was fortunate enough to get to share the cons of Cody Ford with you yesterday.
Yes, I remember that.
Thank you. I never had the chance to answer your perfect question afterwards of, well, why are so many people into him then? So I was hoping to maybe do that.
Well, can I throw one thing in real quick? Let me ask them, if Cody Ford is so bad at pass blocking? How did his quarterback win the Heisman Trophy? Answer me that one. They don't just give a quarterback a Heisman Trophy. He doesn't throw the ball pretty good.
Watch the Oklahoma tape. Their quarterback is a scrambler. Is our quarterback a scrambler? I didn't think so.
Okay. Whatever you want to think.
Nope. I've watched way too much game film on Cody Ford. I know what I'm talking about when I say he can't pass block. He stinks at it. That's why they project him at a guard. But anyway, what I wanted to contribute today was the pros to Cody Ford on why people do have him rated so high. Mainly it's because he has a very rare combination of size and athleticism. He is super huge at 6'4", 340 pounds, and he moves like he's about 6'2", 280. That is, so it's a fabulous combination.
Are you reading that from? Are you reading that from Kuiper's draft guide, or what is it? DeShay? What's his name? Todd McShay?
Yeah.
None of them. I don't take their word for much more than a grain of salt. Usually.
All right.
Again, I have watched a shameful amount of game film. These are my takes.
You like Garrett Bradbury?
I like Garrett Bradbury. He's a perfect zone scheme fit. I definitely think he's better at guard than center because his cons are that he's really late with his hands in pass blocking, primarily because he's got snapping duties.
You're unbelievable.
What do you think of
who's from time to time?
Which website is he reading?
I don't know. I mean, he's just rattling his stuff off.
Let me ask, how much you know. What do you know about Johnny Cain out of South Dakota State?
We went over this yesterday. I've never heard of the guy. Is it King?
Kane. Look it up and get back to me. Thanks, Scott. I appreciate that.
Okay, because I was looking on Kane yesterday. Thank you very much.
It is Kane. Thank you very much.
Yep. I project him to be kind of an undrafted seventh-round type in my mock draft.
Free agent.
Yeah. Seventh-rounder undrafted. Could be the next Adam Thielen. Jerry, you're on the Fan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks, Kamini. I agree with you on the Twins' take. Two things real quick.
Okay.
Number one, Mark, anybody that says, let's wait and see if we do poorly before we sign somebody while they're doing well, that's the mantra of a loser.
Correct. That's exactly right.
Secondly, as to the Vikings, and they'll take that in. We're a Super Bowl contender. Up on their board, their depth board, there's a blank spot. We don't have a starting guard. All this other talk... Spielman comes on and goes, well, you know, it's all smoke, and then tells us he'll probably take the best player, which means, of course, he's talking smoke. They're not going to take the best player. They don't have a starting guard. That's all there is to it. We got to take the best O-lineman, not the best player, but the best O-lineman the first two rounds. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Ray.
I tend to agree with him.
Or you take Hockenhoff, the tight end from at 18. I'm just saying if he's there, you take Hockenhoff, the tight end, and then you take a couple of your other draft picks, maybe a third or a fifth, take combo a third and a fifth, or maybe a third and a defensive back, and you move up to the 20 spot in the NFL draft and get a lineman there. There's a lot of, you don't have to just, with 18, we're just going to select that guy and that's what we're going to do. You can trade up, you can trade down, you can trade for multiple picks, you can trade for current players that are playing.
Yes,
there's a lot of movement,
but I think the bottom line is, and the question was asked at the news conference today, let's not kid ourselves. They did not address it in particular last year. You spent a zillion dollars on your quarterback who you can't protect. This team isn't going anywhere with all the skill positions they have, with the new contract that Thielen has, with Diggs and what he's doing, with Dalvin Cook, with a very good defense that's returning intact, basically. If you don't fix the one glaring, I mean, there every team has needs. The Vikings have a glaring need at offensive line. And if you're not if you can't protect the guy you signed who's not mobile and can't do those things without having a line to protect him, then what's the point of having this discussion? You're talking about the Twins getting an extra pitcher. What's the point of discussing what the Vikings can do in a playoff game if they don't have an offensive line that can protect Kirk Cousins? Because he's not escaping. He's not Patrick Mahomes.
So you're treating the Vikings and the Twins differently then. You're giving the Twins a pass. And
I'm not giving the Twins a pass.
To go out and get a pitcher.
No, I didn't say that. I've said 1,000 times
by July. Why
don't
the Vikings wait and see what happens by the first 8-9 games of the season and then decide if we need to go out and get an offensive lineman?
Because you know that's a preposterous argument.
Well, no, it's not really.
Exactly what it is. You don't make trades. Like you have a draft right now, 2 days from now, where you have to draft to me, the best offensive lineman that's available at 18. End of story.
Even if Hockenhoff is available.
I don't care.
Is there a rule that you can't get starting offensive lineman in the second round? Is that some
rule that exists? I think another offensive lineman in the second round. I don't think it matters. I don't think you can have enough of them. These guys get hurt.
Can't you draft at 18 and then move up to 20, 21, 22 with some other draft picks?
Possible.
Why can't you do that?
I just think that you just... I think everyone's overthinking it if you don't believe that the Vikings...
If Hockenhoff is available, they'll take him.
Best player available.
Best
offensive lineman available.
You want to get as many assets as you can.
Best offensive lineman
available. We've chased position way too many times in the past.
Remember when we needed a wide receiver and we got Laquon Treadwell? That worked out well, huh? Remember we wanted to replace Randy Moss, and what did we do? We got Troy Williamson. That worked out well.
Remember when we needed a franchise quarterback, so we took Christian Ponder?
Yeah, those all worked out well, didn't they? We drafted for position.
Totally apples and oranges.
Don't chase.
Absolutely.
How is that apples and oranges?
No one thought that quarterback class was anywhere near what the offensive line class is.
Well, then why did you draft them at number 12 then? Why did Spielman do it? He must have thought the guy was going to be the next franchise quarterback.
I think it was the next.
Of course
Blaine
he did.
Blaine Gabbert and Christian Ponder and who was the other?
They all were drafted because the GMs thought they were going to be their franchise quarterback.
Well, they needed a quarterback, not a franchise quarterback.
You don't draft a quarterback at 12 just because you need a quarterback if you don't think they're a franchise quarterback.
That's correct. Here's what the Twins need to do. They need to pick up the phone and call the Washington Nationals, last place team with Max Scherzer sitting there. If the Twins trade for Max Scherzer.
When? Now?
Why not now? Why do you want to wait? You want to give the Twins a chance to get off
the hook. The Washington Nationals are a game and a half out of first place.
They're in last place.
No, they're not. The Miami Marlins are in last place. No. They're 10-11. They've played 21 games, and you're giving up on the season already.
I'm concerned about this.
You don't even pay attention to these games. So what difference does it make to you?
I watched some of last night's game.
Good. Entertaining.
I pay closer attention than you think. As a matter of fact, I at least read the account of every game. I know more about the Twins than you know about the Twins, and you're a pull-out pocket protector. That's just a fact.
Oh, it's just getting started.
We'll talk to you tomorrow at 12 noon.
Can't wait.
I mean, no, 2 o'clock. Tana B and I will be back at 12 noon. Thanks for having me,
Tana.
Hey,
great job.
You as well. Enjoy the rest of your day. It's a beautiful day out there. Big Ticket, JG. I think JG, or maybe he's out, because I know he's going to be gone for a few days. But Big Ticket's next here on the Fan.
Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
To listen back to a podcast of today's show, visit the Common Man channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.